You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Deliciously Ella podcast with me, Matthew Mills, and my wife and business partner, Ella Mills. And also, actually, a very special guest in the studio with us today is our beloved dog, Austin Mills.
Yeah, who, by the way, has his own Instagram, Mr. underscore Austin underscore oh,
nice.
Mills.
Very nice plug there. So, yeah, so if you hear any banging, that's probably his tail banging against a table leg or something.
One of the best bits of this year has been Matt starting Austin's Instagram account and basically trolling me through it to get back at when I make him in pictures on the Delicious Together account. Anyway, hello, everyone, and welcome to the very last episode of the season one of Delicious Yella, the podcast. I guess we started the podcast as a little bit of an experiment, and we have absolutely loved the last 11 weeks. And with our guests on the last 10 episodes, we have learned an unbelievable amount. I mean, I've been blown away about everything from how our brain talks to our gut every few seconds, how yoga genuinely is helpful for stress relief and IBS, how, you know, eating 30 different plant-based foods every week is so critically important because it literally impacts our brain, but also how our brain regenerates and can potentially even grow when we exercise for 30 minutes.
The hugely positive effects of a vegan diet on the environment.
Yeah, stopping farming somewhere the size of Africa.
3.1 billion hectares.
Yeah, and likewise, if we stop food waste, we would be saving $1 trillion worth of food a year and stopping farming somewhere the size of China.
Yeah, if food waste was a country, it'd be the third largest polluter of greenhouse gases in the world.
It's been pretty mind-blowing. So if you haven't managed to catch up on all the episodes yet, please, please do, because there's just kind of unbelievable array. It may seem random in some capacity, but it's basically all things we're interested in. But just in the way that we started that series with the two of us giving you a little bit more insight into what we've been up to, what we've been learning, we wanted to round off the series with a little, I guess, Delicious Yella roundup by the two of us and Austin. So from this unbelievable amount of information, what have you implemented from what you've learned from the guests?
Well, I would say actually probably three things. I would say one, I think the episode with Joseph Paul had a
which was on veganism and the environment.
Yeah, had a massive impact on me. And I was always kind of probably 85% vegan. I would still have some dairy milk every now and again. But that episode had a big effect on me. I think I've learned a lot about the power of sleep and rest. One thing I know was a big distraction for me. Basically, when my mum was ill for about a year, I woke up at 4 o'clock every morning. Between 3:30 and 4, it was like a loud noise had happened and I was just bolt upright awake. And so I was probably only getting about 4.5-5 hours sleep. And understandably then I wasn't feeling my best for a while. And so actually really understanding just quite how important sleep is. And then the other things that I can do just to help that. So I started not sleeping with my phone next to the bed, which has really, really helped. That's just, it's an obvious distraction. When you wake up and you're distracted and you've got stuff on your mind, it's so easy just to be like, oh, I'll just have a quick look at my phone. And learning to keep my phone away from bed has been really valuable.
Yeah, I mean, I feel I've learned a lot. I think one of the things I learned actually as well is the power of exercise, because people always say to you, exercise is good for you. But when I was listening to Brendan, he was really explaining exactly what it does for your brain. Then when my alarm goes off and I don't really feel like moving, as most of us often don't at 6 o'clock in the morning, I'm always kind of have that little oomph of like, no, this is going to really impact on my well-being and especially on my mental health. And I go, and I just feel 1,000 times better for it. So that was a really, really positive one for me. And I really, really enjoyed learning all about the gut as well, as someone that's always had some slight...
I loved learning about the gut.
Yeah, found that so
really
interesting.
I really didn't know much about it at all. And so I find that fascinating.
Yeah, and I've always got a bit of a dodgy tummy quite often. And it's just brilliant understanding how to look after it and why it matters.
Yeah, 70% of your immune system lives in your gut, we learned, which is pretty mind-blowing.
Yeah, so I think those have been two big things I've implemented, trying to really be conscious of 30 different plant-based foods every week rather than just having all the almond butter. I'm also having cashew butter, peanut butter, walnut butter, pecan butter, mixed nut butters, and I'm adding different vegetables to my hummus. But also, yeah, that was a brilliant for me is in terms of motivation to get moving every day, and I see the difference in myself so much.
Yeah.
What have you learned this year, personally, professionally, both in the podcast, but also obviously outside of it?
It's going to sound so cheesy, but I think I've just learned, and I've always felt like I've been really, really lucky and fortunate in my life. But I think this year I've just learned quite how lucky I am. I think being objectively, it's been a tough year personally because my mum passed away in May. But I felt so lucky to be surrounded just by such incredible people, to be able to, even when something like that happens, to wake up every day with a huge sense of purpose because I love so much what I get to do every day at Delicious Yellow. And professionally, just on the discovery of Delicious Yellow, that we know that this is a long journey that we hopefully are on, and just learning ways that hopefully we can continue to add lots more value to the people who participate and engage in Delicious Yellow every day.
I love that.
And how about you?
Oh my gosh, I feel I've learned more in the last 12 months than I have almost in any other period of my life, to be honest with you. I think one thing I've learned massively from you, but I've actually been super inspired by a lot of our guests, particularly if anyone listens to the episode with Brendan on the power of exercise on the brain in the way that he talked about his journaling of his gratitude diary, and that sense of really internalizing how lucky we are and trying to always, always, always see the positive in everything. And I've said this to a few people, but one of my biggest learnings I've ever had was so shortly after your mum got ill. And I'm definitely can be someone that looks on the negative side of things, and I'll never, ever forget feeling so kind of distraught for you all. And then we spent the weekend all in the garden together, and Otty, our amazing, gorgeous little niece, was playing in a washing up bucket as a paddling ball. And at the end of the day, you know, your mum said, gosh, what an amazing day. Could you have a more amazing day than this? And I'd spent so much of the day looking at it, thinking this is awful. You know, she'd been given a terminal cancer diagnosis. And yet your mum looked at it with such positivity. And it really hit me so hard about the importance of reframing your thinking. And I've been really consciously trying to do that every day, trying to have those kind of little affirmations and that sense of, no matter what you're doing, it can be a great thing. There's so much positivity to take out of it if you want to find it. And I know
I think it's just the lens, isn't it, that you look through, and it's just anything can be positive or negative depending on how you really decide to look at it.
And totally. And we were at dinner last night and we were talking about exactly that lens and the importance of finding the positive lens, but also how the lens is created by the tools you create around to keep it in place, to keep that lens always there and focused in the way you want it to be focused on the good things. And for me, the biggest tool, I guess, that I've really connected to this year has been yoga. I've been practicing on and off since I got into the practice after I got unwell in 2012 with restorative yoga. But this year I actually did my yoga teacher training because I wanted to bring it into Delicious Yellow more as well. As you said, I think we both become such passionate believers in this kind of holistic 360 view on health. And it was the most unbelievable. Lots of people said to me, oh, it's going to be a life-changing month. And I thought, nah, it won't be. That's kind of too much. It really, really, really was. I learned so much about myself, so much about communication with people, but also just this amazing, amazing way of every single day connecting to yourself. And someone said something the other day which really resonated, and if there's one thing I want to continue to learn going forward, it's exactly this, which is that if you want to love yourself, and I think we all desperately need to have a positive relationship with ourselves because that's where the stem of all our other relationships come from, then you have to know yourself. And I think for me, yoga has been the most amazing tool of discovery for kind of connecting to and kind of, I guess, getting to know myself and acknowledging things in myself.
I love that.
So what's been the highlight?
The highlight of this year was probably we had my mum's memorial a couple of weeks ago, and almost 1,200 people came, and it was just a celebration. We had her funeral shortly after she died, and it was a very kind of private family affair where we celebrated her life really as our mum. as dad's wife, and just with her closest friends. And
you spoke so beautifully. Honestly, it was one of the proudest moments I've ever had.
I don't know about that, but we had my mum's memorial a couple of weeks ago, and it was just a celebration of her life as a public servant and seeing the people that she had touched and learning and hearing stories that I never heard before from people was incredibly touching and a really amazing moment in what's otherwise been at times a very, very difficult year. I think also that with Delicious Yella, it's tough to pick out moments where it's that one special moment. You know, each day is filled with lots of stressful moments, but then also lots of exciting moments. And so it's typically never, in what we're trying to do with Delicious Yella, we're trying to build something that will be sustainable for the very long term. And so I think it's just been the little things every day. Our team's almost doubled in size this year, and
which is terrifying.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's been great to get to know these new people and really embed them within, I think, all the values that we have within Delicious Yella, and just spending time with such special, motivated, good, decent, bright people every day is a highlight that I think we both celebrate every day.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what was your highlight of the year?
I feel there's been so many kind of roller coasters on this year that it's almost tough to pick out one. One of my biggest highlights was we went up to Scotland just a few days after your mum's funeral, to this one, I think it's one of the most beautiful places I've ever seen in my whole life, this village that your mum loved called Plockton, which is
west coast of Scotland.
Yeah, right by the Isle of Skye. We hadn't been there before, and it was such gorgeous weather. We're so lucky, and she had this little jetty she loved, and we went down there with Matt's sister Jess and his sister Annie, and we all jumped into the sea in Scotland, which was so cold. Into the loch in Scotland.
Which was freezing. Like, I've never experienced water like it.
Yeah, like icy, icy cold, but we jumped in, and I was, have to admit, wearing like a tiny little thong, but it was just like, we were so kind of free and just like threw all our clothes off and just jumped in, and it's my screensaver on my phone. It just really stood out to me in that sense of kind of being free.
It's a life affirming moment.
Yeah, that was a really, really special moment, and we had some really special time away this year as well. And I think one thing that I'm not brilliant at is disconnecting from work. I love Delicious Yella, and it feels like such a part of my soul that I always wouldn't be helping people. So every time someone sends me an Instagram message, even if it's like 2 o'clock in the morning, I've just opened my eyes. Sometimes I reply, which is not very healthy. And we really took some proper time off in June, and we went away, just the two of us. And we didn't leave the hotel for 10 days. We like literally walked 200 steps a day, and we just ate so much pineapple and lay on the beach and just had really, 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 really amazing time together, because we calculated we spend 90% of our time together, but so much of it is with work, and it was lovely to really, that was a massive, massive highlight.
Yeah, that was a special 10 days. So we've now got some people have fired in some questions that I'd like us to answer. So first question, favourite meal ever
or favourite meal of this year, do you think?
Favourite meal of this year,
okay, favourite meal of this year. What's yours?
You know what? It's not one meal in particular, but one thing that we started to do, it was when my mum got ill a year or so ago, is we typically during the week, we're really, really busy. And then on weekends, we were up staying at my mum and dad's house every weekend. So we never really had time just to be the two of us. And we started this routine where every single Sunday evening when we got back, we went out for dinner, and we've ended up basically going to the same restaurant every single Sunday at the same time, sitting in almost the same spot, and just have we've really, really made it just part of our weekly routine. And it kind of bookends the week really nicely. And it's just been a really special grounding way of having some sense of normality and real niceness around.
A bit of romance.
Yeah.
But we eat at 6:30. We love that. So we're in bed. It's like 8:30 still.
Yeah, which we like even more. So yeah, I wouldn't say one specific meal, but just doing that every Sunday has been a really, really powerful thing that I've loved to do this year.
That has been, I completely agree, it's been incredible. The other thing we're super happy about is this amazing tiny little pizza place opened up next to our house that does vegan cheese on their pizzas as well, which, let's be honest, we're pretty excited about.
It's really, really good.
It's really, really good. So yeah, those are the favourites. Okay, another question we've had. Someone said they'd love to know whether there are any times during our journey building the business where you felt like giving up and how you managed to pull through the slump.
Honestly, I've never thought about giving up with this. I think that we both love it so much. It's something that's obviously deep within Ella's soul. It's taken her from real sickness to much, much, much better health. And it's something that as her husband now, I'm so proud to be involved in and have really internalized myself. And I'm very passionate about everything that we do in Deliciously Ella for numerous reasons. I keep referencing my mum, which I think is a common theme in all parts of my life. But my mum was a politician. She was the first ever public health minister in the UK with a focus where they focused on prevention rather than cure, which is what you typically go to hospital for. And with Delicious Yellow, we know how many lifestyle related illnesses there are out there. We know that not enough people in the UK are eating their five a day, let alone their 10 a day, which is what we should be doing. I think 27% of people in the UK eat their five a day. So being able to continue that work that mum had started as well, I absolutely love doing. I think getting to go to work with your wife every day, I'm sure can backfire, but it's been amazing for us. And I think we feel incredibly lucky to do it. So I don't think it probably sounds a bit strange, but I don't think I've ever thought about giving up. I think it's something that more than anything, I just feel so fortunate to do. And I want to grasp that opportunity in the biggest way we can. And if we gave up, I'm not sure what I would do anyway. So I think it's much better doing this.
I have to admit, I have once or twice thought about giving up, but just because I've sometimes felt kind of personally pulled in quite a few directions, trying to keep everyone happy, I guess, because my face is quite attached to what we do. But I think just as what Math was just saying, like that sense of feeling so drawn to the passion behind the why and why it matters that we share plant-based recipes is what always, always, always pulls me back in. And I think one thing that we're learning a little bit is that we've been so go, go, go for the last 3 years. And actually, we also need to take small breaks. And we're going to be offline for about 3 weeks this Christmas and really trying to reset and recharge so that we come back with so much energy, so much zest, so much excitement, rather than sometimes just kind of pushing ourselves a bit far. And we were literally talking about this again at dinner last night, that I think sometimes when you're so busy with something, and I'm sure everyone will feel like this, you don't always take those minutes to acknowledge how much you've done, how much you've grown, the challenges that you have pulled through. And as a result, you're not always focusing on what you should be proud of and, you know, celebrating. You're focusing on the issue or what you've got to deal with next. And I think that's something that we both need to address a little bit sometimes. I think it's very much part of our culture today of always, always looking at what's next, always feeling like we've got to achieve more and what we achieved isn't enough.
Yeah.
But on what you said about working together as a husband and wife, one question that we get all the time and came in as well for the episode is, how do we manage keeping a happy marriage? Is the one question we get all the time, which is interesting, but also in doing that when we're working together so much.
So it's definitely, it can be testing sometimes, obviously, but I think the thing that we do, and I think we do pretty well, is we've really, really divided out our roles. So I'm much more focused on, I suppose, the kind of the more businessy side of what we do. And Ellis,
can I just say one thing on that? We had to do a picture for something today, and someone made the really good comment that Math was wearing an amazing blazer and a suit and looked crisp white shirt and looked so smart and a big business meeting, and he looked so ready for action. And I was wearing a fluffy fuchsia green baby blue rainbow jumper, and they said, yeah, you can really tell what roles you guys do in the business. We've got creative here and we've got Mr. Make It Happen there.
So I think the way we do it is by really, really splitting out roles. I think if we were both trying to do the exact same thing, and say I was trying to be focused on all the creative too, I think we'd probably drive each other nuts. So I think letting Ella do everything and bring all the magic that she does to Delicious Liella through all of our content, and leaving her to do that and really not trying to get involved in any way is the way that we do it. And then I think Ella,
you make it all happen.
Well, I don't know about that, but we've got a great team who make it happen. But we but I think really splitting out the roles there has really definitely helped our relationship in a big way. And the other thing, we have one rule, which is that if there's a big decision to make, whether that's on a new product or if we're going to do a new project in the business or we're going to make a new big hire, or if there's just a big decision that needs to be made, we'll only do it if we're both 100% in and we both have the openness and freedom to veto any decision if we really just don't feel it's wrong. And so I think being completely knowing that we both have to be 100% in allows us to both own the solutions or the successes or the failures if something does or doesn't work out.
Yeah, and I think on that, just trying to be as respectful of the other person at all times basically as possible.
Yeah, I think it goes, I mean, I'm sure it's a lesson for any marriage, but it's just to always be kind and as much as you can polite to the person who is as well. But I think just knowing and understanding that, you know, this isn't a straight line up where everything works. Every day there's challenges and things go wrong. And so just having that appreciation and understanding for that person is another key for every day that we go by.
Yeah, but it's nice when he's having a cheerleader next to you. So when you're sitting at your work and not feeling great or feeling worried, you look over and you see the other person there. It's really comforting. I recommend it more highly. Okay, one of the other questions we had, and we've had this a lot, is finding balance. Like, do we have any hobbies outside what we do? Are we just total nerds and we spend all our time on spreadsheets?
So yeah, we definitely spend a lot of time working. I would say that our weeks are very much spent just working, and typically one day a weekend we're both working as well. So, but I would say that we get a pretty good day off each weekend. If, you know, it might be a solid half day, but if not a day. And I like to play golf. So I
Matt is so fanatical about golf. I can't even explain it.
So I've been playing golf since I was 3 years old, and I just love it. And lots of my friends play golf, and so it's a great way of me just going out and spending time with them too. So I love to play golf. So if I can, yeah, and Austin comes out and plays with me, which I love. And so if I getting out to play golf every weekend is a big thing for me. One other thing I actually have done as an addition this year, which has really helped. So I joined a gym and I started work. I hadn't worked out in years, and I started working out again, and it's really, really helped me because it's something that properly takes my mind off things when I'm doing it and gives me a bit of space. And golf used to be my thing where I would just go and I switch my phone off and I just go and I play and I have fun with my friends and I just completely switch it off, and it's my real headspace. But just actually having that, a bit of that every day from going to the gym, has been really, really helpful for me too.
Yeah, I find that with yoga. I try and get yoga in. I'm a big believer in the fact that we do have more time in the day than we often give ourselves credit. Like today, I went to yoga at 6:30, came back, made breakfast, got my almond milk coffee and put it in a little to-go cup and walked Austin all the way through the park to work, and was at work by 9. And I'd had 2 hours basically of just amazing time. It was such a beautiful, beautiful day to walk. And it was such an important reminder to me, again, just that we do have that space for ourselves. And I'm trying a new thing, which I'm really going to be so strict with myself on as well, is that I don't turn my phone on until after yoga. So I have a bit of quiet time of that, like just to kind of create a positive start to the day. So I'm a huge believer in morning routines rather than just kind of rushing straight into work as soon as we wake up, which can be tempting because it does sometimes feel like there's a kind of insurmountable amount of things to do.
Yeah.
I think routine is something people are always very interested in. Do you have a morning routine, a nighttime routine?
I really like, so we wake up every morning and we have Sonos in our house. And so we wake up with really relaxing music every morning, which I think really helps. And
we're
then
obsessed with this artist called Snatam. I don't know if I'm saying her name right, but if you go on Spotify and it's spelled
S-N-A-T-A-M and then K-A-U-R. And she's like a yoga
music,
it's really relaxing.
It's stunning. Get the album Mantras for Divine Grace. It may sound a bit wacky if you're not into yoga, but just trust us on it. We're obsessed. We sometimes sit in the office and like, we need Snatam.
Yeah, so waking up to really relaxing music is nice. And then I always listen to the news in the morning. So typically our alarm goes off at about six, and we listen to, we wake up, we have 10 minutes of music, and then it goes on to the news. And so I feel like while I'm kind of waking up, I'm getting filled in on what's happening in the world, which I really, really like.
And then you have your coconut milk latte.
Yeah, I have my coconut milk latte, which my dear wife here typically brings down for me after she's given Austin his breakfast.
And now my new thing is trying celery juice every morning. I've kind of probably jumping on an Instagram trend there, but I keep seeing it, keep seeing people swear by it, and I'm not been, my health hasn't been so good again recently, so I'm kind of trying all kinds of weird and wacky things, including, so I go upstairs, I make a celery juice for me and a coconut latte for Matt, and some delicious kibbles for Austin. Okay, so in general, are there any tools that you have to help you find balance, anything you come back to time and time again outside of coconut lattes, the gym?
I think and it's golf. Golf's my big one. If I'm ever feeling really, really stressed, and golf's typically a really good way of reversing that stress. Also just spending time with, as Ella talked about earlier, my little niece, Ottie, who I just completely and utterly adore. And she's so little and naughty and
heavenly.
I just love her to bits. And so when you hang out with her, you realize that everything you're worried about is usually typically pretty irrelevant. So hanging out with her, just hanging out with family, friends, I guess usual kind of stuff.
Yeah, I love reading, especially when we get any time off. Like, I wrote one of my, if anyone's looking for book recommendations, I read the book, The End of Loneliness this year. That had me crying my eyes out. It was so, so phenomenal.
Yeah, when we were away on holiday, you typically read about a book a day. I mean, yeah, you really get buried into them.
It's very antisocial of me, but I love it. For me, there's no better way to switch off than that. And then I've also been absolutely obsessed with a book recently that one of my yoga teachers recommended, which is called Journey to the Heart. And it's just these really lovely, short, kind of two-thirds of a page daily meditation, which just give you a bit of kind of positivity, something nice to think about today. And they just kind of really, really lift your spirits. So if you're looking for a little something every day to read, a kind of sense of affirmation or meditation, then definitely do that. We've kind of gone on off meditation this year. I'll do times where I'm like obsessed with
meditation. I have huge intentions for meditation. Yeah. Every day I'm literally, I'm like, I have to do that today. And I'm terrible at actually doing it.
Yeah, I went through a phase for a while this year where I had some of those mandala beads, which I don't know about anyone else, but I always used to see yogis or people that did yoga wearing those beads around their necks, and I thought it was just what you wore if you did yoga. It turns out they're meditation beads. And I got some, and I started doing it every night before I went to sleep, and I've never slept better. And it was it's a good reminder of the fact that you've got to kind of go out your way to do those little tools that make you feel so much better. And I haven't done it for about 6 weeks, and I am vowing to do it this evening because it feels really good. But just reading a little something before you go to bed, I think, is amazing. And yeah, definitely read The End of Loneliness if you can. It will make you weep, but it is absolutely brilliant. You're more a business book guy.
Yeah, I like reading business books.
Matt has a stack of like, what, 15 business books on your bedside table?
Yeah, I like reading business books. I've read a really good one this year by the head marketing professor at Harvard called Young Mi Moon, which is called Different, which is a really great book. And it's about innovation and basically how typically brands just try and add more and more and more. But actually, sometimes it can be best just to take stuff away and get it back to a much simpler form. So I really enjoyed that book.
Okay, so changing the subject a tiny bit, people want to know what's changed at Delicious Yella this year? Any big changes? Anything you felt?
Well, a lot's changed. I mean, we shut two delis earlier this year just so that we could really have all of our focus on our food products. It's just the most effective way that we can fulfill our company mission, which is to make fruits and vegetables accessible and available to as many people in the most exciting way possible. So that was a big change. We've been working on a big project, which we're developing a completely new app, which we're really, really excited about. It's going to have infinitely better functionality. It's going to also have a yoga section on it where there'll be lots of yoga videos. It's going to have
lots of questions about that.
Yeah, it's going to have it'll be updated with new recipes every week, lots of new great content every week. And we're really, really excited about that. And it'll launch with about 350 plant-based recipes and about 30 yoga videos. And every week it'll be updated with more recipes, with more videos, and it'll be 99p a month. which enables us to be able to invest and grow the app and make it the best resource it can possibly be, and hopefully just become a really exciting new part of Deliciously Ella.
Totally. And it's also got loads of recipe videos, which we've been filming non-stop recently. I literally feel like I'm like Pop, we've been cooking so much. And meal planners and shopping lists and all the things you've been asking for as well. So, I mean, I feel like it's a little bit like the conversations we had around the deli, which is that we know a challenging decision is going to lead us to the best place in the end and allow us to give the most to all of our audience and kind of give the most value and really work again with that mission of kind of making veggies cool, making eating well a little bit easier for everyone. But you know, we did that in the acknowledgement that whilst hopefully everyone's gonna be super excited about it, we also appreciate some older app users may not be as happy about needing to get a new app. But I think it's going to be, I mean, we've seen all the kind of prototypes and everything, I think it's going to be just about the best thing we've ever done at Deliciously Ella. It's really exciting.
Yeah, it's a really, really exciting project. And then the other thing that we're working on is everything we do at the moment is in the UK. All of our team obviously is in the UK. We make our products here in the UK, and we are very, very proud of that. But one thing that we also are excited about is, you know, Deliciously Ella in many ways already is an international business, because we've published books in 24 languages around the world, and we have people who follow our social media all over the world. And we haven't really been able to travel because we wanted to stay here when my mum was ill. But now it feels like we can spread our wings a bit, and we would definitely like to start doing some more stuff internationally, which we're really excited about. And we hope that it will be interesting content and interesting storytelling for people who engage in Deliciously Ella, and hopefully there'll be things that we learn along the way that we can share and hopefully help other people on that journey. And so we're really excited to continue to try and build everything that we're doing to try and reach more people, to try and go reach new places. That feels like a big new adventure for us, and hopefully,
and on a personal level as well, it's really exciting. We're heading off to the US the day this comes out, so on Tuesday. It's Wednesday now, and it's, you know, that's for us as a couple as well. It feels like a kind of
it's really exciting
adventure.
It really does.
If anyone has any recommendations in New York or Chicago, please do send them to us, because we've got a bit of time in both and we want to eat absolutely everything we possibly can.
So we're really excited about that. We're looking at some stuff in Europe as well. We're just waiting to see what happens with Brexit, but we're definitely really excited about that, and excited to share the whole story of trying to do that with you. So the next question we have here is, what's your dream for Deliciously Ella?
It's such an interesting question, because if you'd asked me this on day one, I would have said to be able to do this as a career, for anyone to read it. And, you know, kind of as that scale, I guess I've never been as confident maybe as you are. And I've always had a kind of shallower dream, because I never really believed I could kind of make the dream a reality. And now I look at it and I have these moments of kind of, I guess, daring to dream, where I think maybe Deliciously Ella could be like, you know, really, really big company, like an Innocent Drinks, or, you know, even bigger, and we can really change the world. And the more I learn and the more I read and the more people I speak to about the importance of plant-based eating, both for our own health and the health of our planet, the more unbelievably passionate I get about it. And I just, I guess I have this complete dream that one day what we do will just be the complete norm. And how about you?
So I think for me, it comes back to the thing that I think, this again may sound a bit cheesy, but I think it's the thing that is most exciting to both of us about Deliciously Ella is the purpose that it has. It's, we absolutely love all of the businessy bits that we do, and it's a great way of us, and it kind of manifesting all of our values. But the thing that we're most excited about is our purpose, and our company purpose is to help people try and live better, to be really useful. So not just to sell stuff for the sake of selling it, but sell stuff because we think it's going to add real value to people's lives, and to try and make vegetables cool. And so if my dream for Deliciously Ella is that in 25 years we're sat here and we have a business that is much, much, much bigger than it is today, and somehow through Deliciously Ella, whether it's through content sharing or being able to make food products really accessible and available to lots of people, that we have somehow been able to show that we've created a tangible change, that's shown that people are living slightly better each day, and that somehow we've made vegetables cool, which really that challenge, which is a never-ending thing, is the thing that excites us most about Delicious Yellow. And if one day we're able to show that, wow, we actually did that in some way, I think that really is our dream for Delicious Yellow.
Yeah, it's exciting, isn't it? Okay, so just to close, wrapping up the end of the year, so that everyone knows, we're going to be pausing the podcast and back on Wednesday, the 2nd of January, which is incredibly exciting.
Yeah, so we're really excited that we're going to be doing a second series of the podcast. As Ella alluded to at the start, we really weren't sure what the podcast was really going to work out to be.
Or whether anyone would want to.
Or anyone would listen, but somehow lots of you have, which we are so touched and humbled by. But we say this to people sometimes when we talk, and the strange thing about both Ella and I is we're actually both very, very private people. So even though Deliciously Ella has this big following, we don't really share too much about our private life, because we are both actually quite private people. And the great thing about the podcast is it's just you kind of feel like you're a bit protected, because you're just sat here without having to be in front of lots of people or really kind of showing in a big way. And so we've really, really, really loved doing the podcast, yeah, and the honest conversation. We hope that there's so much different information about there, and we're so fortunate to be able to bring these real experts in to share their wisdom and knowledge with us. And so the podcast will remain where it'll be Ella and I talking to hopefully really interesting, useful people for everyone to be able to learn something from, and hopefully add value to their everyday. And I think
we get to learn so much along the way as
Yeah, we're going back out to the States in March, so we're going to try and interview some people there, and we've already got some really, really exciting guests lined up. And I don't think we could finish our series of our podcast. It shows we've talked a lot in this series actually about some of the negative effects of social media, but one of the great parts of social media can be the connections that you can make. And our amazing company have helped us produce all of this. Mags Creative have been invaluable, and I think are real partners to us. So thank you to them. And we're really looking forward to doing another season with them, and going on different adventures around the place, interviewing lots of different people.
You said, I think social media has had quite a bad rap this year. I think we've all become increasingly conscious about the way we consume information online. But what feels really nice about a podcast is it feels kind of exempt from that completely. It feels a really positive, hopefully uplifting and insightful, interesting medium. So I think it's going to become a really cool part of Delicious Yellow. So don't worry, we're just pausing for a split second, because it's been an incredible year. But I think,
but also, like in anything that we do in Delicious Yellow, you know, any of the food products that we release are always the recipes that have been the most popular from the blog, the app, the deli, the events that we've done. And so everything we do is led by this incredible community that we get to exist and interact with every day at Delicious Yellow. So if there's anything else that you're particularly interested in trying to hear about, or people that you would love to hear from, then we would love to be set the challenge of trying to get them on. So if you have any suggestions, please always just email us with anything. It's just, we try and have easy email addresses on purpose, but it's just matthew@deliciousyellow.com and ella@deliciousyellow.com. And always please feel free to shoot us a note if there's anything that we could do better on this too.
Two T's in the Matthew, because when we met and I was trying to stalk him on Instagram, I only put one in and couldn't find it. So if you want to get in touch, he needs two T's.
Nice.
Otherwise, thank you guys so much for listening. Honestly, it means the world. We've been blown away by the number of downloads.
Yeah, we talked for a while about doing this. We really weren't sure what the response has been like, but we've been so touched by your comments and the amount of listens that has literally blown us away. We didn't think we would get close to the amount of listens that we've had, and we're so touched and humbled by that. So thank you. And we look forward to catching up with you all in the new year.
Bye.